This morning during worship, I really felt this for this church as an encouragement. And it's 1 Peter 4, verse 7 onwards. It's, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in all your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Just an encouragement to you as a church.
Oh, that's beautiful. Goeiemôre almal. Ek gaan vroegtydig amper om verskoning vra. Ek gaan meer in Engels preek as Afrikaans. Anders te gaan ek iets sê wat ek bedoel, maar nie moet sê nie. I have a colleague who we teased for many, many years, want hy het 'n begrafnis gedoen. And instead of saying, may the Lord empower you, he said that directly in Afrikaans. And it went down funny, want hulle het verstaan as 'n Engelsman en hy hard gesien, maar dit het 'n rukkie gevat vir almal om hulle valstande agteruit te haal, want die is amper ingesluk. So, ek wil die taal nie verinneweer nie, ek is eintlik, ek is eintlik van Duitse afsprong, maar Suid-Afrikaner, 60 generasie in die land, so I won't trakseer julle met te veel meer. It's a real privilege for me to be here this morning. I just felt a leading just to share just a little bit of my heart. Ek was 'n dominee in die Baptiste kerk gewees vir 13 jaar en die Here het my met my gewerk. Ek het nog altyd in die bonatuurlike geglo. Ek is I was saved out of the occult and out of drugs and so on in the year of 2000. So the supernatural was always strange to me. Ek het dit altyd beleef en ervaar en my kollegas nie altyd nie, so daar was altyd 'n bietjie wrijving daarso. And the Lord just led us to slot in with initially with 412 and then very, very soon after that with Josh Jen. And our journey into Josh Jen was literally through folks who opened their home, who have now become friends, who said, come, stay by us, we'll take care of you. And we were like, how does this work? We came actually down the road here to the farm, the gathering, and we were camped, daai groot storm wat so lekker gewaai het. Yeah, I took about a baptism of, no, it wasn't fire, hey? But iemand het 'n lys vir ons opgemaak en gesê, hier's ons vir julle 'n plek om te bly. And what was crazy is we were actually, we do a little bit of touring on a motorcycle every now and then. So the whole idea was we were going to go on a bit of a road trip and then we do this visit down here and then head back home. And the night before we left, I had a dream. And in my dream, the bike was swerving. And I was cross with Belinda because I told her to jump. I literally woke up with just that in my mind, just sat up straight at 3 a.m. And Belinda was immediately awake and said, what happened? I said, the Lord told me we're not going on the bike. And she was like, okay. And then by the time we left, that storm hit. So it would have been terrible. And then about a week after we got home, I was like, well, my bike, the gearbox does what we call sound a bit agricultural, you know. Hy's nie van rubber gemaak nie, hy sê. So, miskien is daar dalk iets. Anyway, I took it to the mechanic who helps me service the motorbike and we chatted and he was like, "Yeah, let's just wheel it into the workshop." And I was like, "Okay, maar ek gaan weer ry, so ek maar all right. In geval ons sit die motorfiets in die werkswinkel en ons koffie, en hy sê, kom ek vat jou huis toe. I'm like, no, but the bike. He says, no, you're not going anywhere on that. There's something wrong. And a week and a half later, when he got the chance to open it up, we discovered that the center bearing on the gearbox was gone. He said to me, I said to him, what does this mean? He says, it means about 450, 500 Ks and the back wheel is going to lock. So we were driving out of Alberton at the time where we were serving, where I was serving as a minister in the church. And that would have meant that just other side of Gariep, at about 120 or so, in between all the trucks on the N1, the back wheel would have gone. And if it hadn't been for the family who said, come, stay with us. Don't worry, we're going to organize all the camping gear for you. You guys just come. And then if it wasn't for just the Lord dropping something into my heart, saying, hey, listen, vertrou hulle, dis okay. En dan, moenie meer die motorfiets ry nie, ek het 'n ander plan. And then, until a few months later, actually on the 1st of December, that was a September, on the 1st of December, when I was standing in the garden just praying, just begging the Lord, saying, Lord, please, I can't not live living, breathing New Testament church. I can't do it anymore. Ek staan alleen altyd, and I'm so wanting folks to come with, but there's no life. We know the word. We're a people of the book. Maar dis alles kennis en niks hart. It's a religious experience. It's not a relationship experience. Hoe, waar, wat moet ek doen? En ek soek nie 'n woord nie, Here, want 'n woord gaan ek bietjie draai om my eie sin te gee. Come on. Hey? Second opinions, you know, it's the last book in the Bible. First imaginations and second opinions. I said to the Lord, Lord, please give me a scripture so that I will know you have spoken. And if I ever get confused, I can go back. And dit staan daar en dit gaan nie verander nie, dit het nog nie verander nie en dit sal ook nie verander nie. En ek het klaar amen gesê en toe stap my vrou uit die kamer uit die huis uit en trek haar japon nog aan, want dit was so 5:00 die oggend. En sy sê, die Heer het my nou net wakker gemaak met 'n skrif. And 3 months later, I resigned the job, stepped out in faith, said, okay, Lord, I don't know why, I don't know where, I don't know what's next. There's no prospect. I wasn't offered a job. I wasn't offered anything. I was told, listen, we can't. Sorry. We want to support you. Ons sal seker maak dat jy nie honger ly nie, maar ons kan jou huis nie betaal nie. I said, that's fine. The Lord's going to do this thing. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know where. I'm going to stand on this. Because it did take a few months to get obedient. It did take till the May of the following year. I got the word in December. It'll take till the May for me to go, okay. Okay, now what now? En toe sê die Here net, vertrou my. En ek moes 3 maande kennis gee. En in die tweede maand van die kennissiklus, waar ek nou al begin beplan. Hey, how, you know, we do that. Hey, we do Jesus plus. You know, Jesus will and then I will. En met my hulp, jy weet. It's another chapter in Second Imaginations, you know. With my help. God will, you know. The Lord just kept saying to me, be peace, be still. So in die Psalm, ek weet nie hoe staan dit in Afrikaans, it says, be still. Know that I am God. En hy het voorsien. Hy het voorsien op 'n bonatuurlike manier. Belinda is nog voltyds in werk. Haar baas het my gebel. Ek het hom fishing hengel gevat. You're among fishermen. Yeah, I'm feeling safe already. My drug is fly fishing. In geval, I'd taken him fishing and the Lord just opened a door there supernaturally and he phoned me up and he said to me, how are you? What's happening in the church? And I said, well, you know, the Lord's told me to do this. And he was like, sure. Toe begin hy huil, toe sê, joh, die Heer het gesê, ek moet vir die volgende 3 maande jou huis betaal. En ek kon nie verstaan, hoekom nie. So God goes ahead, we need to follow. And I just felt like an encouragement to you. I don't know who it is here, but just if it's to all or to one, the Lord knows and he sees and he will do. And he'll do exactly what he said he will do. And here's the hard part. You got to listen when he speaks. Want ek was vasberade dat ek met daai motorfiets gaan ry hoor. I spent a lot of money on extra equipment and a communication setup for us. And ek het gereël dat my vrou gemaklik is. Ons gaan. Toe die Here gesê het, nee, jy gaan nie. Daar was 'n ander tyd vir dit. En daar was. But yeah, if you want to walk on water, you first got to get out the boat. So yeah, I just don't know why I just felt like to share that with you guys as a church. This morning, my sermon, if I may, I'll keep it short, I promise. Is Passover and the Scarlet Robe, and this is something that just impacted me quite a bit about Rahab, the prostitute, the unacceptable one, the unqualified, who actually becomes quite an incredible and integral part of church history through one thing, and that's obedience. She literally just went, ek sien iets en ek moet daar iets daaraan doen. En dit maak nie sin nie, maar ek gaan nie twyfel nie. So if you have your Bibles with you, Joshua chapter 2, I want to work through it a little bit at a time and just share. So this is quite an amazing thing. Ek is baie sterk op context. Context is mos alles, né? You know, someone said the other day, I think it was Michael O'Duffy, he said punctuation is a lifesaver. Jy weet, waar daai punte en kommas is belangrik. Ek is dyslexie, so ek vergeet aanhoudend waar hulle moet wees. So there's a joke about an advert in a pet shop door. Pitbull, bull terrier, cross. Excellent guard dog. Eats anything, especially fond of children. Hy kom in die verkeerde plek, so hoor nie so, iemand gaan die verkeerde idee kry. So, context. As we start the book of Joshua, I think most of you probably know this, it's the last time that the Israelites eat manna. And it's the first time that they eat harvested wheat from a field in 40 years. It's like this transitional phase between and to. God puts them at the Jordan River right at the time of the harvest. I call them godsidences, you know, because it's not a coincidence. Dis nie per ongeluk nie, dis baie, 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 baie aspres. Dis prachtig mooi, maar is baie aspres. Want as jy lees, dan sê dit at the time of the harvest, they were there at the time of the harvest because the river's in flood. So it was the time of the harvest. So the fruit was ripe at the right time, and the last time the manna fell, the next day, they harvested grain. They could grind grain, they could make bread. It was like the werk to begin, and obviously they crossed the Jordan River. And as they're prepping to cross the Jordan River, Joshua sends spies into the land to go and see, and the specific plan is to kind of look at Jericho. And we all know the story about Jericho's walls that were like so mythically massive. In fact, many people say that the walls were probably thicker than this room was wide. So it's nogal 'n gedagte as jy daaraan dink. Argeoloë sê hulle die fondasies gevind, maar nie die mure gevind nie. And that kind of confirms exactly what the Bible tells us, that when they destroyed it, it was completely destroyed. And that the only part of it that survived was her home. So two men were sent out, and they stayed in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. So mense nou dink, hier's hierdie mooi Hebreëse manne. Wat maak hulle in een van daai plekke? Anyone ever thought that? Enigstens ooit daaraan gedink? Wat maak hulle daar? You're like, wat op aarde? Culturally, the woman who, culturally in this context, a prostitute had a house that was also a hotel. So in our language, we would refer to her as a madam. So we don't know that she was in charge of or had women who worked with, but that would be the context. So she had a place where you could come and stay and other things. Sal het daar laat. But what's fascinating about this is, despite her being a place where travelers and visitors would come, her house is in the wall, meaning she's on the outskirts of society. And it's baie interessant for my dikwels who we treat a lot of people as on the outskirts of society or on the outskirts of our circles. Hulle is buitelanders. Hulle is anders. And that's not just a racial thing. That's an everything. Between different language groups, between different cultural backgrounds, between, ek weet van die Duitse gemeenskap, when my mom and dad got engaged, my grandfather apparently went, the English are taking over, you know. Hy was heel verboureerd door die story, en toe trou allemaal met die Engelse dame. Dis 6 kinders, so. She's on the outside, she's on the outskirts. But something is interesting is she, let's go to the next verse, verse 2. That someone tells the king, hey, listen, daar's iemand wat daar kom kuier het. This is very interesting because if we go to the next verse again, it says the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab to bring the men who had come into her house and that they are spies sent here to discover the best way to attack us. There's been no declaration of war yet. Have you noticed that? Hoekom dink hulle gaan aangeval word? I want to take a step back and do context for us for a second. In the Exodus, when they left Egypt, the scriptures tells us there were 600,000 men. Culturally, that's anyone from the age of 13 or 14 and up. Mary was about 14 or 15 when Christ was born to her, and her and Joseph were married. So it wasn't strange for us maybe, but in that context, it wasn't strange for what we would classify as teenagers to marry. So let's assume that 500,000 of those 600,000 were potentially married men. So that's 1.2 million people. And then the scripture says, and a rabble of Egyptians. So you know, Exodus gaan kyk, dan praat dit van soveel Israeliet men, mans, en dan al die ander, en kinders. So this is quite a logistical thing, if you think about it, because this is probably 2 to 3 million people moving around an area. And what's very, very interesting is when they get to the Jordan, they had gone to a place where they hadn't gone before, for die eerste keer. Dis half asof daar 'n sirkel was en daai sirkel skielik gebreek. Daar's buite die sirkel, daar's buitengewoon, outside of new, different. And in this new, different, God goes, come, let me show you what I'm going to do. So they go and the king says, hang on a minute, there's spies they've come to see. Because they talk about later, if we go into the next verse, it's she says she's hidden these two men. So they ask her, where are these men? And she says, I don't know where they are. They left earlier. They went down on the road leaving town. And it would have been tradition, let's go to the next verse as well. It would have been tradition at that time that the city gates closed at night. It was a curfew. Op 'n sekere tyd in die aand maak jy hek toe, normally dusk and dawn. It's very interesting. Everything starts in the morning, ends in the evening. And then it was morning and then it was evening and God created and then it was morning and then it was evening. Wonder waar ons hulle dit geleer het. Maak jy elke aand die deur toe en maak elke oggend die deur oop. Maar sy sê vir hulle, listen, if you go quickly, you'll probably find them. But in the meantime, she's hiding them. On the roof. You guys know the story. Most of you would have heard this 100 times. Let's go to the next one. She'd hidden them in the roof and the flax. So the king's men went and looked for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing places of the Jordan River. So daar is plekke waar jy deur die rivier kan gaan. Because there's no bridges. So it's the time of the harvest. The water is very, 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 very high, but there are places where we normally cross. So they go and they send them to look for these places. But they get there and they don't find anything. Let's go to the next verse there. So before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk with them. So where were they? They were not in the house. So they weren't doing business, shall we say, with Rahab. Excuse me. But they were there and they were being hidden. And she protects them. And then when you have a look further, she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Who wird say? We never told, really, actually. I've really done a hard search on that. We never pick up, like, what is this moment where we realize, hey, the Here het vir Rahab gesê. You know, in Mark it says if all the miracles of the Lord were written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to record them. I always think that these are those stories. We don't know what happened, but she knew this thing is coming. And sy wil nie deel hê aan wat hier gebeur nie. She's also aware that the whole region is really terrified because this nation are moving through there. And everyone they come into opposition with loses the battle against them. So it says, you've heard you made a dry path through the Red Sea. That's freaky because that's 40 years ago that happened. We're not told how old Rahab was at the time. Maar stel jou voor dat sy moontlik nie lewendig was toe dit gebeur het nie. So God se roem is vooruit gegaan. His pattern and his consistency has been there the whole time. When you left Egypt and you know what you did to Sion and Og and the two Amorite kings of the east and the Jordan River and those people you completely destroyed. These are very, very, very powerful warlords / kings / nations in the area. It says, no wonder our hearts have melted with fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord, and this is very interesting, is if you go and have a look, it means it's God, Yahweh, the covenant name of God, Yahweh, is in the original. It makes the reference to God as in Yahweh. The covenant God is the supreme God of heavens above and the earth below. So swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. And give me some guarantee. I need something that says this happened. There's a sign, a mark, a place, a confirmation, right? When Jericho is conquered, that you will let me live along with my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and their families. So in other words, me and my generations. Before me, we can't help, but after me, we ask. And this is very, very interesting to me. It says, we offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety. The men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep your promise. And when the Lord gives us the land. Nie hoopelik, moontlik, dalk. Yes, when he does, we'll keep our promise. And since Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down on a rope through the window to escape the hill country and told them, hide there for 3 days until the men who are searching for you have returned and then go on your way. I want to pause there briefly because something hit me quite profoundly. 3 days, Jonah's in the belly of the whale, 3 days, Christ in the grave, 3 days. This thing happens all the time. If you think about what happened on the third day in creation, gaan soek itself op, gaan kyk bietjie, dis interessant. So they get told to hide away for 3 days. There's one other person who's lowered from the wall of a city in a rope and a basket. His name is Paul. He's one of the apostles. Ook net baie interessant. Like someone brings the good news and then they get let out the house with a rope quietly. It's net interessant. Ek weet nie wat dit beteken nie, net interessant. So they go and hide for 3 days, and I'm going to jump ahead just in terms of the story. And what I want to land on is she says, what must I do? And they say, everyone who's inside the house will be left alone. But if they go out into the street, we can't. promise you anything. So we know about the scarlet rope that hang out the window. Anyone ever wondered how they would know that from the other side? Ek het daai vraag nou al 'n klomp keer gevra. How did they know that was the door to Rahab's house? Because it doesn't tell us what happened there. But what is very, very interesting is the scarlet thread, this is a streepie bloed. It's like a covering. And everyone who was in the house was saved, and the house was saved despite everything around it being destroyed. There's another time that happens, right at the beginning of the Exodus. And they slaughter a lamb, and they put the blood on the doorposts, like scarlet threads. And everyone who steps under the doorpost comes under the blood, becomes covered by it, protected by it. And everyone who is in the house gets saved. Everyone. Because here's what's interesting is when you go and read, it wasn't just the Jews who had the Passover meal together. Because otherwise there wouldn't have been a rabble of Egyptians that went with them. Tells me a few things. God's not exclusive because of how I'm born or where I'm born or what I do. Because if it was, I don't know about you, but I'd be in trouble. I wasn't born a Jew. Some of my lineage relates back to some pretty hectic anti-Semitic hatred. So if God had a generational problem, I'd be in more trouble. It's quite a thought, eh? This loving God protects and keeps and preserves and looks after. And he sets a very, very simple standard. Do it like this exactly, and then you'll walk in my favor. I'll make sure that you are safe and cared for. And then he doesn't just do it for us, but he does it generationally. Because I don't know if you know this, but Rahab is Boaz's great-grandmother. Means that her bloodline forms the bloodline through King David to Christ himself. So it tells me a few things. You can't be unacceptable to God. It's not possible. Letterlijk, fysisch, en geestelijk, onmoontlik, om onaanvaarbaar te wees. Hy vra net een ding. Sê net ja en doen. Eerbied hom, volg hom. You were sharing earlier about that, just like they said yes. That's what they did. That's all we can do. That's all we have. Got this meme. I'm gonna send it to you, Andre, to share with you guys. There's a picture of sort of a figure that would be Christ and a person standing with their heart up like this and saying, the person saying, this is all I've got, and Jesus goes, it's all I want. It's baie maklik, maar is nie so maklik nie. Want ek dink ook aan die mense wat in daai huis was, toe daai mure afval. Toe alles in die stort en toe die Israeliete ingekom het en letterlik alles wat gelewe het doodgemaak. We remember the walls, but if you carry on reading, you'll hear about the massacre. Absolutely everything, everything, everything destroyed. What was the mark on the other side of the door? Maybe we'll know one day. Maybe we don't need to know. But what I do know is that when we say yes to the Lord, that he will cause generations after us to prosper. He says so. He says, who I bless for 1,000 generations. We often sing that song, 1,000 generations. Maar weet ons dit? We use the word rhema. You know what it means? Wow! Met 50 aanhalingstekens. That's all it is. Just Yes, Dad. I'll follow you. But we get tired. We get weary. We stop listening. En dan moet die Here ons vingers bietjie stomp maak, laat ons weer kan luister. So I want to encourage you that you are within a family where it might feel like the top layer is very hard and crusty. And when the plow comes down, there's a few times wat hy so bietjie lei, want ek kry nie gegryp nie. But when the moment you apply the right amount of pressure and it cuts into the soil underneath is rich, soft, and ready. I really had such a picture of that in my heart as we were worshiping, just of a plow coming down and that initial contact that it almost wants to ricochet, it wants to bounce a bit, and then the next thing it settles and it breaks through, just a thin little crust on top. And sometimes that crust is tradition. The Lord had to break some stuff in me that was tradition. He had to kill the unholy trinity. Have you guys heard of the unholy trinity? Me, myself, and I. So ek het van hoe die Afrikaanse mense sê die eie ek. Weet, met hoofletters geskryf. I kind of just want to land there and I'd love to pray for us if that's okay with you. I'd love to pray for us that we just remember again. Unfortunately, we're not in charge. Otherwise, we'd fix it, right? But God is in charge and he wants to